Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. It's nice to have you back with us again. Today we have a really special guest. I've known her since she was in her mother's womb. Mainly because it's my daughter, Dina. Dina is probably the best discipler I have ever met. She is really gifted in being able to do that. She's been discipling girls when she was in high school and college and beyond that, then in women on top of that now, since she's a mother of two, and she's continuing that discipleship role. The good thing is that she's not only discipled girls, but she's also discipled so many of the guys that were dating the girls, because she laid down the rules of what was expected of them as a godly man, and they acquiesced to that. So it was really fun to watch the Lord use her in that scale. And since the Lord was very clear to us, we see in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." Since that was the Lord's kind of last commission to us, great commission to us, it's really important to know what discipleship's all about and how to go about doing that. And discipleship isn't just meeting with somebody or a small group or individually, but it's also the people that you live with, discipling your spouse and discipling your children and discipling the people that you're working with. And that can be done through an organized effort, or it can be done just in a daily basis of interacting with them. So I've invited Dina to be able to come and do this. And I know that she's just loving this as much as I did when I first started it. But, and if you hear me call her Punkin, that was her name for me, always has been. So don't be confused by that. If you hear Punkin, you know I'm talking to Dina. Punkin, what do you think? Can you share a little bit with us today about discipleship and what that looks like?
Well, one of the things that I love about sharing about discipleship is that it isn't just about a meeting, that you're meeting once a week or you're going through the Bible and once a week. But it's life. It's living life with them. And my most favorite things for high school students was back in the day was to be able to pick them up right after school, because they were willing to share, and you had them in the car and they couldn't go anywhere. And they were able to just talk about their day and listen to them of what is going on, and then bringing in biblical perspectives in the middle of all of that. And so the thing that I love the most is talking about discipleship is just being a lifestyle and living life with them, being a part of their life in every way, shape, and form. And that way, at the end, when they graduate from high school or when they graduate from college, your job isn't done. You know, you're still part of their lives, your family and their friends, and it continues, and they continue to give back to you just as much as you've given to them.
Pretty awesome, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a lot of good friends that started off in discipleship roles.
Yes, they were, high school students that I met on campus, and now they have become super incredibly good friends and people that hold me accountable just as much as I hold them accountable, and share things that God's doing in their lives, and it's a blessing that way.
Do you see a lot of them now also taking on your role and becoming disciplers?
I do. I see several of them doing that. But also a fun part of it, too, is that they are discipling, but in different creative ways and unlike how I would do it. and being able to see where God's taken them in life, like as a mom or as someone that is doing hair, to someone who, you know, just all different kinds of responsibilities that are out there and doing it differently. But it's been cool to keep, you know, a tab on that and hear where they're at in life and continuing to look for that discipleship mentality wherever they're at.
For those of you that may be a little confused by the term disciple, Jesus used that term. In fact, it's interesting, the word Christian is only used 3 times in the Bible, but Jesus used the word disciple over and over and over again, hundreds of times. And probably a way of looking at that today would be mentor, somebody that is there to be able to help mentor, guide you into a right relationship with Jesus. I think discipleship is kind of defined as a follower of another's teachings, and they follow it so closely that it becomes the reigning rule of all their thoughts and actions until they become like the person that they're following. So when you become a disciple of Jesus, then you become like Jesus. And to a certain degree, like the person that is discipling you. You see a lot of that reflection there too. And if we're doing a really good job at discipling, then we're going to be pointing them to Jesus instead of us. They're going to be looking at the Jesus in us. And I think that was one of the things I always tell people when we talk about discipleship is oftentimes we want to follow after Jesus. And we make a commitment and we get in there, we do pretty good. But then sometimes we kind of get a little self-focused and find ourselves kind of like maybe a sandwich where Jesus is the bread of life. And in my case, I'm the turkey. And so it's real easy for me to kind of slide off of that bread and do my own thing. But when I'm discipling somebody, that they become the other slice of that sandwich. And if I decide to slide off, I'm taking them with me. And it's amazing how making a commitment to disciple others really helps us stay more tight with Jesus, because it'd be one thing for me to do that on my own, but knowing that I'm going to be taking other people away from Jesus with me helps me stay even more committed to him. So Jesus knew what he was doing when he said, go and make disciples. And that was a commandment to all of us that have him as our Lord and Savior. So would you agree with that?
I agree.
You agree?
Definitely agree.
All right. That's pretty cool. So tell me some stories of discipleship. I know that you've got one of the great gifts that the Lord's given Dina is that he has made her a storyteller. She's really gifted at that because she's got all these incredible stories that she has been a part of as she stepped out by faith and let Jesus use her in people's lives. And it's always fun to be able to see those. Anything come to mind that you'd want to share?
Well, there's several, but one of them, I hope she's listening to this. But one of them is I was discipling a young lady and actually talking about learning from your disciple person that you're actually discipling to. She had such a heart for missions, and it just gave me a passion for missions too, because in the middle of that discipleship, why am I crying? So anyway, she had a cousin that went to another campus that I was on, and she handed me a picture. And she said she doesn't really want to be involved in any of this, but if you could try to find her. And so every time I was on the campus for Student Venture, I would go around and have a picture and look for her. And finally tracked her down, and she did not want to go in. I think there was a boy that went in that she thought was cute, and so
talking about inviting her to a student mentor meeting on a high school campus?
Yes.
Okay.
And so she finally went into the meeting on the high school campus because of a cute boy. And and anyway, that decided, you know, I started talking to her, and it started a relationship there, and I was discipling her on an ongoing basis. And then she moved to Anza, and I would drive out to Anza once a week and pick her up, disciple her out there. And she had her own journey and what God was doing in her life and her ups and downs. But knowing now that she absolutely loves the Lord and is following him, and actually one of my dearest friends, you know, and that we're able to share that relationship still to this day. There are so many more that I'm so proud of, and that God's doing so many things, and there's struggles, and people, and they graduate from high school and there's still struggles, and they'll still call, or I don't hear from them for a really long time, and then I hear from them again, and it's such a blessing to continue to be a part of their lives in that way.
Tell me about the story, a story about the rose on the beach.
Okay. So I had one of my other high school students that just, she was always in relationships in high school and always needed a guy in her life. And so she was about ready to graduate from high school and go into college. And I challenged her just to take a break and allow the Lord to be that filler of that emptiness and spending time with him. And she had come back from break and she's like, oh, I'm still kind of hanging out with some guys and stuff like that. So I re-challenged her again. And she's like, Dina, it's hard. You don't have somebody that verbally to talk to, or someone that, you know, can communicate with. And so I just kind of gave her the Bible and I'm like, this is your communication. This is your verbal of you praying and talking to the Lord and then spending time in his word. And she said, well, there's nobody to really give me roses. Mm-hmm. And I said, I didn't really have anything to say about that. But then we were at a lunch and we decided to go to the beach. And it was during the winter. And we were walking along the beach. And nobody was on the beach at all. And we looked down and there was one long stem red rose, like in mint condition. And such a powerful thing, you know, for her to see that God can even give her roses. And that she just needed to wait on his timing. And she did. And then soon right after that, she ended up finding her husband. And in her wedding, it was like all white roses in the bouquet with one red one in the middle to remind people of that story.
So there are no limitations in our relationship with Jesus in regards to what he can fill and meet.
Absolutely not.
That's awesome. I know that you've had the privilege of discipling some girls that are very different than you, very different from your background. Some that are from the very beginning when you met with them, because you're meeting because somebody asked if you'd meet with them, wanted to shock you with their language and with their lifestyle. How did you handle that?
Well, I had one girl share with me all of that stuff. Just, I mean, a lot of things that were just very on purpose to try to shock me. And then she asked me a question, how are you going to fix me? And she looked right at me. And at that point, I said, I'm not. And that was my answer, is like, hopefully if you let Jesus, he will. And just bringing it back to him, bringing it back to Jesus and that relationship there. And honestly, that young lady also got married and has the most beautiful family. And I had the privilege of, when they were in town, meeting together and meeting her kids. And one of her kids saying, you know, my mom says that I am who I am because of your time in her life. And so that was so awesome. And she prayed, the little girl prayed, and it was just so amazing. And just to see her heart and the heritage now that she's passing down.
Yeah.
But, and how that whole family is following Jesus, you know, siblings and parents and everything, you know. And so it's not just when you're discipling the one individual, it affects everybody. It can affect everybody in the family.
Generations.
And generations, yeah. So
I think that's something that's really important to remember too, because sometimes you make a commitment to somebody and they are really hotheads. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like forever you're meeting with them and they're not changing. But we never know the kind of impact that the Lord's going to have on them. Have you ever had that experience where you met with somebody and that they just seemed to be knotheads and finally just kind of walked away and then later came back to you and said, wow?
Yes, I've had that a couple of times where they didn't want to have anything to do with what it felt like it was just never sinking in, you know, and they absolutely challenged everything that I said. or I would find out that they were lying, you know, and there's a lot of times too that it, God is so good because they would be like, how did you know that? And somebody else was telling me, you know, without them knowing. And sometimes the Lord would lay things on my heart as well, but, and it just felt like nothing was sinking in. And then later it just all clicked and they came back later and thanked me, even though I wasn't even a part of their life for very long. Yeah. But it was that short term part that made that difference that God used.
They saw the truth and the realness of that. Mm-hmm. And the Lord used that to help them find that on a permanent mm-hmm. basis later.
Right.
Pretty cool. So if you've got people in the audience out here that go, oh gosh, I would like to do that. I would like to see my life count for something like that. But I'm not a Dina. I don't have that kind of calling or that kind of, you know, draw in my life. I'd like to, but I don't know how to do that. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm going to be honest that as now I'm married and have kids, it's been very difficult because how I thought or how I did things in the past, I was single and I could spend my whole time with everyone. And so now it's the Lord showing me how to disciple those that are in my area of influence. My children, you know, like, or if you have a job, the person that's sitting next to you, your husband, just different people, your wife, different people of influence that are around you by asking questions, getting to know them, loving them, writing little notes that, you know, of encouragement or scripture, keeping a journal of prayers for them. Little things that seem little are so impactful. And it can be, that is a discipleship. That is discipling those that are in your influence, in right in your circle, and that can have a huge impact on their lives.
Yeah, big time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say writing a note or a scripture, yeah, I think, I know you're really good about getting in the Word of God, but when you're in there, you read it with an expectation that the Lord's going to speak to you personally. But also, I noticed that you read it also saying, Lord, I know that this person in my life is struggling. Is there a word or something that you've got for me to be able to share with them? And how do you know that that's Jesus giving that to you if you do?
You know, I still second guess myself, honestly, all the time. But there is just this peace or this urgency when I come across a scripture that I'm like, okay, this is it. And I always clarify, I'm like, this is what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. I could be wrong, but this is really what I felt like he had shared with me and giving it to them in that way. I have two Bibles, and I have one that is my study Bible. I have another Bible that is just filled with names by scriptures that if I feel like the Lord is laying them on my heart, I write and I put the date. And then I've seen years later, like I've run into that person and I'm like, wait, they're in that scripture verse. And to be able to say, I've prayed that scripture verse over your life. And then to be able to write another date is when I feel like the Lord answered it.
Wow,
and
cool.
So I have, it's actually my salty Bible. So it's like my, my old school salty was an old school songbook when I was little that talked about Jesus. And so it's a Bible. It's just full of names.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's pretty powerful when you can do that with somebody, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Helps them build their own faith.
Yes. And a lot of times that scripture that God has given you, the Lord has already laid it in some way, shape, or form on their heart anyway and stirred their heart. And it was just, it's a faith building for them. And then it's a faith building for the person that gives the scripture as well.
You know, when we first started the ministry, I remember asking the Lord, Lord, what if somebody asked me a question that I don't know? Mm-hmm. And you know, he goes, tell them you don't know. Go find the answer. I'll give it to you. And so frequently I would, and when I was getting ready to meet with a student or discipleship or whatever, I'd always spend extra time before I met with them and say, Lord, is there something specifically that you want me to share with them? And just be open as I'm reading. And sometimes a verse would just kind of jump off the page the same way. I don't know for sure if it was for them or not. And I'd write that down and not even initiate it with them. But as we talked, almost every single time that verse, whatever it is that verse addressed, they were talking about. And I was able to bring that to them. And I got to be known as the Bible answer man. Did you know every scripture, every verse you always respond in a scripture? And I just started laughing and said, no. I just spent time with Jesus asking me what you needed to hear from as we met today. And I said, you know what's really sad? And they go, what? And I said, if you'd opened the Bible, he would have given it to you directly. You didn't have to get it from me. And they go, oh. So yeah, for those of you that are struggling out there and you go, well, I don't know the Bible that well. Just trust the Lord for that. Step out by faith in that. And I like that you say, this may not be for you. I use the term usually, this might be bad pizza from last night. But I think this is what the Lord's given me to be able to share with you. And that kind of helps ease that in also on both sides of us. So encourage you all that are listening. Start opening the Word and trusting that the Lord will give you something. You know, I've got one of my high school students from years past. Her mom knew the Lord, but she felt like that she needed to encourage her mom in the Word. And so literally every morning before she went to school, she would go out on the kitchen counter and open her Bible and underline a verse with a little note, Mom, this is what I feel like the Lord gave me for you today, and leave that Bible open for her every single morning. And she did that for years. And that mom to this day is just absolutely blown away by how the Lord spoke to her and felt so loved by her daughter that she would love her so much that she would seek Jesus on her behalf. Really impact her. Incidentally, that mom is also working with a ministry that is and making an incredible difference in other students' lives. Mm-hmm. So it's powerful. You can do that with your kids, with your spouse, or just somebody that you may be meeting with.
And I think talking about even your children, when I was in college, my dad ended up like giving me a piece of paper and it had everything that he really believed that God had shown me who I was with all of the scriptures in there. And that was such a huge, powerful thing for me. Even as an adult, I still had it by my bedstand, you know, that I would like read over. And then now for me having my own kids and my son now entering junior high and having some hard times and wrestling with some things. And I really felt like the Lord asked me to do the same thing, you know, for him. And so I did, and I wrote it all down. And he is a boy of little words. And so I know he had it. But I was up, we're living in an RV right now. And so but I was up cleaning around his bed, and he has a little box that he keeps, he says, his precious things in. And I found that letter in there. Oh. And so I was like, oh, So those things are so powerful. And I remember doing that with the girls that I discipled too, is just asking the Lord to show like certain words that I felt like who they were in the Lord. And kept using those words in their lives over and over and over again. And then some scripture verses and just reminding them, because sometimes it's just, especially in the world that we're living today, it's so hard and we forget of who God has called us to be and who we are in him. And so those encouraging words are so powerful.
They really are. I think identity is one of the major issues that people struggle with today, you know, because the world is constantly telling them, this is who you are. And then we live in a culture today that's full of ad hominem, where people are speaking ill of one another instead of words of encouragement and edification, as it talks about in 1 Thessalonians. And so I think it's really important, especially with our kids and with our spouses, to be able to tell them the truth about who they are louder and longer than the enemy would tell them the lie, as it talks about in Romans 1. And so I loved being able to do that for you and for your brother, to be able to sit down and say, Lord, who, you know, it's funny because I remember specifically praying and saying, Lord, you've given me shepherdship, actually under shepherdship responsibility for these children. They're really yours. You're the great shepherd, but you've given me responsibility of watching over them. And so, Lord, I need to know who they are, and I need to know where the things that even that could cause them to misstep. And so that I can be there to help protect them and guide them and direct them. And so, will you reveal that to me? And so I prayed regularly and said, Lord, who are my kids? And it was such a thrilling thing to have Jesus reveal that to me and to be able to sit down and write that out for you as part of your college graduation. Of course, then your mom typed it up in a really super nice script and all that kind of stuff. you know, made me sound better than I am and look better than I am. And then to be able to frame that. I think that's so important. I'm glad to see that you continue to do that because we need that today. And so for those of you, again, that are listening in, if you're a parent or if you a spouse or if you're discipling somebody, the ability to speak the truth about who Jesus has made them to be over and over, louder and louder, and longer than the enemy would tell them lies will help set them free. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. And so we need to be speaking the truth about who they are so that they can be shaped and molded by that into the image of Jesus instead of the image of the world. And so I'm glad you brought that up. It's really powerful. You saw the difference in the girls that you discipled too, I'm sure of that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and everybody's going to go through trials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember your brother going through a really, really hard one in college. And he called me and was just devastated, you know, and I just listened for a little while and finally said, well, I've only got one thing to say to you. And he said, what? And I said, well, the Lord told me that my ministry would wane in comparison to yours. He told me that when you were 13 years old. And he just started sobbing, as you could probably hear him doing that. And how can you say that? And I go, I'm not. That's what Jesus said. I just need to remind you of that. That's who you are. You know, when you've got that kind of ability to speak the truth into people's life and be encouraging and edifying with it. Incidentally, the word encourage means to impart courage. And edify in the Greek literally is to build a house. It's building up. It's not tearing down. When you can encourage one another and build one another up that way, then the things that the enemy bring against you to try to define you as a failure no longer stick. You know, failure doesn't define you. Are you hearing me out there? Failure doesn't define you. Jesus does. The only way that it can define you is if you allow it to be able to have control over your life. If you believe the lie instead of believing the truth about what Jesus says about you. So you have power, parents and disciplers out there, to be able to speak that truth into each other's lives. And you need to speak it loud and long. Continue to remind them, this is who they are. Changes everything.
I think some of my most, the stories of the girls that grabbed me the most too is, you know, I discipled them in high school and then really didn't have much conversation with them after for years and years and years. And they struggled and they went down their own paths in life. And then to be able to hear from them again, walking with the Lord and walking with Jesus and being able to remind them again of who God had called them to be and yet rejoice in that is just so amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, those stories are so amazing to see where they are now and what God has done and the stories that they have to share when they're in their area of influence and when they're able to share their testimony and be able to share, this is the path I did take, but this is where God has called me now. And who I am and where I'm at with the Lord and how powerful that is. So, and even with their own children.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's really easy to let the enemy grab hold of you and go, who are you to speak the truth when you haven't been living it to your kids or to your spouse or to somebody around you? But the truth is still the truth. I remember you and I both know who this is. I'm not going to mention a name, but there was a young man that when we first started our ministry, he was with us for several years and he was out partying still. Knew Jesus was real, you know, but he just had a hard time surrendering, but knew he's real, you know, and knew the truth of it, you know. And he would knock at our door at 3 o'clock in the morning, bringing somebody over there that was drunk as a skunk. Of course, he was too. And just sit there and go, I was just telling them they needed Jesus. I'm an idiot because I'm not following Jesus, but but can you share Jesus with them? And, you know, lead that person to Christ and then see them really follow hard after Jesus, stop the partying. And this guy kept partying. I think he led more people to Jesus in his partying mode than most people while their entire life walking with Jesus. Because he knew the truth was still the truth, mm-hmm. and he cared about his friends enough to share it, even though he was being a knucklehead and not walking there. And so if that's you, and you made some mistakes along the way, and even if you're struggling still, don't hesitate to speak the truth in love. In love. Because that truth helps people be set free. And be honest, you know, if you're struggling in your own. And say, hey, maybe we can do this together. And because two are better than one, because there's a greater return for their labor, as it says in Ecclesiastes 4. That's good. So what else would you have to share with us in regards to discipleship?
I think, you know, looking back now, and I know I've said it even in this, but you gain a lot of amazing friendships in there. Mm-hmm. And you get to be a part of people's lives that, and we're all created so differently. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to be a part and hear stories of how different everybody's living their life and what God is doing in them and how he's using them and their struggles and everything else, it, to me, it builds my faith and it builds a community that I absolutely love, you know? And so a lot of times we feel lonely and we can feel hurt. And yet if we, in the middle of that, as hard as it is, reach out and love others and get in the word and not just allow that to encourage us, but to encourage others, it does build that community that's around. It's not perfect and it can get messy.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing.
You know, it's funny because I have a lot of pastors and youth pastors and people that are walking tight with Jesus come and share the loneliness. Mm-hmm. The way they phrase it is burnout. Mm-hmm. You know, that they feel like they're just burned out. They're empty. And then the funny thing about that is through the years as I prayed about that and said, Lord, what do I do to counsel them? And he's given me different things. But I think the most profound advice that the Lord ever gave me was to disciple. You know, all of them that are doing ministry, it's so easy to be doing ministry and not be connecting with people relationally, you know, and discipleship is living life. You said that really well, living life together, having these intimate relationships with each other and helping them to fall in love with Jesus so that it's no longer just you and I, but it's you and I and him. It changes everything because it energizes you. You know, when you see them growing and making right choices, and it stirs you and it gives you a hunger to continue to do this. But when you're pouring out in ministry and you don't have that relational connection, it makes it really tough. And I think that works even with our spouses and with our kids, that as my relationship with Jesus is close and I'm looking to disciple them, to help them fall in love with Jesus also, boy, it fills our love cup in a powerful way. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I agree also, though, that my kids have probably been my hardest people that I've ever discipled. It, you know, you think, oh, I got this. I've worked with junior high and high school students my whole life. You know, not my whole life, but a long time. But it is very different when they are your flesh and blood and when you are the parent. And it has been definitely life-giving, and I've had to look at it as discipleship in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I've had to be on my knees. I've had to be in the Word because, you know, like even just my son, we're very different. We look at things very differently. And if I just try to parent the way just a regular parent, there's so much disconnection and not understanding. But as I'm in the Word doing the same thing I would with the high school girls, you know, asking who he is and what is going on in his life and asking the Lord for perspective, there he sees how much I do love him. And then there is that bond.
Yeah.
And it ends up, he hears not just my words, but he hears me, my words more because he feels that love from me. So
I like that old saying that people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find out who said it first, but it's a good one out there, whoever it was. So, yeah, but yeah, I watched you as a parent. And the funny thing about that is that you've got amazing kids. My grandkids are amazing. But watching you be challenged by them because they're each different, radically different in so many ways. And to be able to have to know them through seeking Jesus and approaching them differently train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart. But that training means the way they should go is different for each one of them. Mm-hmm. And but it's, I love the fact that you came to that realization that it's all about discipleship. That's what really what parenting is. It's training them up to fall in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Follow me as I'm following him. And setting that example helps a lot. You know, I remember we had a young man living with us that was profound, became a pastor. But I won't mention a name again, but I remember talking to him years later, and he said, the thing about your life that impacted me the most was getting up every morning and seeing that you were in the Word, mm-hmm. that you started your mornings off that way. You started your mornings off with Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and that impacted me even more than anything you said to me. Yeah, I just went, wow, you never know when kids are watching to be able to see, are you living what you say? What you speak. And even if you're not, if you're open and honest enough to be able to share that with them and saying, hey, falling short here, would you pray with me that the Lord will help me? Because I'm having a hard time doing it on my own.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever apologized as much before as being a mom. That's good.
Well, it is good. Yeah. It is good. So I hope this is helping all of you that are listening out there. I know we always have questions, but the bottom line on all of this is discipleship is about helping people fall in love with Jesus. Mm. And the way that happens is starts with us being in love with Jesus. Mm. You know, kids have a tendency to follow after us, and they become like, you know, even if they manage to become 80% of who we are, that's pretty awesome. That's a B in school. That's doing good, you know? But the problem is if we're only at 80% and they become 80%, that's 64%. And that's close to failure. So the closer we can get to Jesus, the more time we spend with him, having somebody else to disciple us, to help us grow and fall more in love with Jesus, the more apt that the modeling of that is going to really make an impact. And then finding ways, because we're in touch with Jesus, to be able to reach them really makes a radical difference. Mm. So don't give up if that's you out there and you're wrestling with that. And if you find yourself going, well, I'm only at 60%. Well, that doesn't have to stay there. And remember, it's not about you. It's about you hanging out with the one that can change you. That's Jesus. And the more time you spend there in his word and worship and hanging out with people that love Jesus more than you, the more that you will become like him. Mm-hmm. And you can start that journey even to involve your kids or your spouse and say, hey, we need to be seeking Jesus together. Will you join this journey? I know I'm not where I need to be. It's amazing how many of them will follow along with us there too. So don't give up. Keep at it. Keep seeking Jesus. Keep hearing those words that he's called us to be disciplers, and that means all around you, everywhere. One last little thought that popped into my head. One of my favorite actors is John Wayne. Well, let's hear it for the Duke. I love watching his movies because bad guy always got a rifle butt in the mouth, and the good guy rode off in the sunset with the girl and his horse. So it was really fun, and I even had an opportunity to get his autograph from a friend that was working for him, and he was a rough fellow in many ways, but somewhere along the line, he gave his life to Jesus. And this friend told me the story about his daughter going through a really, really, really rough time. And this was just before he passed away, and he was out on his boat with her, and he looked at her and he said, well, you know what we need, don't you? And she goes, no, Dad, I don't. And he goes, well, we need Jesus in our lives. And he sat down with her, explained how to receive Christ, and the two of them got down on their knees and prayed and received Christ at that moment. And I always thought, yes, I get to see Duke in heaven. You know, it's never too late. And made a difference in her life too. And so wherever you are, whatever you're struggling with, don't let that define you. Confess it, get closer to Jesus and ask him to help you continue to grow where you need to be. And if it's, you won't do it for yourself, do it for your kids, for your spouse, do it for your friends, for those around you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So we need to beseech the Lord of the harvest to bring forth workers. And that means be ready to be one of those that you're praying for on Luke 10:2. And let Jesus use you too. Funkin, thank you for being such an amazing daughter and such an amazing woman of God. And thank you for being such an incredible discipler, for dedicating your life to seeing people grow in their relationship with Jesus. I know the Lord saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I know that you're not perfect. You don't see yourself that way. But you hang out with the one that is, and you readily share him with others. So thank you. I hope all of this challenged you and stirred you. And I hope that you'll take up the gauntlet, those that are listening, to become a discipler of Christ, make that difference in the people's lives around you. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time. May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.